海之音服务员一聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2021年2月3日星期三，我们再次荣幸的邀请到了 Radha Chandra 为我们继续讲解《罗含的茄汤念经》是茄汤念加尔塔摩达。Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare。
Reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 24, the 61 explanation of the Atmarama verse.
今天我们继续来阅读《永恒的茄汤念经》，是《茄汤念Charitamrita Madhya Lila》中篇逍遥的第24章，有关 Atmaram 失节的64项解释。
So we're going to continue discussing.The first verse that Lord Chaitanya shared with Sanatan Goswami about approaching the spiritual master.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在向 Sanatan Goswami 谈到了如何去接近一位灵性导师。那么我们今天继续来讨论他给 Sanatan Goswami 所讲的这第一个世界。
Which he explained to be the very first principle.For anyone who wants to enter the path of bhakti,
他就谈到了任何一个人，如果他要进入 bhakti 之道，也就是奉爱之道呢，这就是他首先要做的。
There are two questions left from last week.
上周还遗留下来两个问题。
So we'll answer them now.
Okay. 第一个问题。问题就是顶拜帕布的莲花族灵性名字有什么含义？感恩帕布和翻译。Please accept my humble obeisances. What's the significance or the meaning of a spiritual name? Can you please share with us? Thank you very much.
The spiritual name is given at the time of initiation, and that spiritual name is to remind one of Krishna or Krishna's qualities.
那么这个呢？就是当一个人他接受启迪的时候，灵性导师就会给他一个灵性的名字。这个灵性的名字就是让他时刻能够想到 Krishna 或者是 Krishna 的品质。
In other words, the sound vibration of the name is not mundane.
换句话说，就是这个灵性名字，当你要去读的时候，它有一种音阵，这个音阵就是灵性的一种能量。
And Not only it helps the disciple to remember something about Krishna, but it also helps people who call the person by their names.
就是不仅让这个奉献者、这个门徒能够呢想到和 Krishna 有关的一切，那包括其他去呼唤这个奉献者、叫这个奉献者名字的人也能够想到 Krishna.
And it's interesting because in India, even people who are not Vaishnavas as such.Everybody gets a spiritual name at birth.
那很有意思，就是在印度，即便是一个人不是 Vaishnava 奉献者，出生的时候也会获得这样的灵性名字。
They're all Sanskrit names which are related to Krishna.
那这些名字也都是梵文，这些梵文的名字都跟 Krishna 有关。
Because it reminds you of Krishna.
因为这些名字可以提醒你，让你想起 Krishna.
And the best example is in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.When, what's his name? Ajamil called his sons Narayan at the time of death.
那就是在圣典博迦瓦坛里面呢，这个 Ajamil 他叫他的名字，叫他的儿子的名字，就是在他临终的时候叫他的 儿子的这个名字 Narayan.
Yeah. But of course, there is the affix which come after the name is the word Das or Dasi.
当然了，一个灵性的名字的这个后面呢，都要有这个 Das 或者是 Dasi 作为后缀。
Which means that the disciple does not become what the name represents, but the disciple is only a servant of that name.
换句话说呢，就是这个名字就前面的这个部分，并不是代表这个门徒就是这样了，而是指的是门徒是这样的人的仆人。
So if you get the name Gopal, you don't become Gopal, you become Gopal Das, you become the servant of Gopal.
所以如果说你有一个名字叫 Gopal, 那并不是说你就是 Gopal, 你是 Gopal 的 Das 或者是 Dasi, 那他就是他的仆人。OK, 下一个问题。吴桥乌莎 David Dasi 顶拜老师精准的指导，感翻译甜美的甘露和 YY 奉献者默默的付出。请问老师，找叙事灵性导师应有承诺或仪式吗？请接受我恭恭敬敬的顶拜，你总是喜悦鼓励力量的课程，让我早上充满能量。Please accept my humble obeisance. Thank you very much for your accurate instructions, and thank you for your sweet nectar. And I wonder if there is any formal commitment or rituals related to finding a Shiksha Guru. Please accept my humble senses and also your pleasant, encouraging, powerful class, which feels my energy.
This is a question.That is coming up more and more by devotees now.
现在呢，就是诸如你提到的这个问题，现在是越来越多被奉献者提起了。
And the reason for this is the idea is to have more devotees taking the position of instructing guru, as opposed to devotees taking the position of initiating gurus.
那换句话说，其实就是现在希望有越来越多的奉献者能够担任叙事灵性导师的这个职分，就是说相对于启迪灵性导师来说，应该有更多的叙事灵性导师。
In the different qualifications and qualities of the guru that we listed last week, Prabhupada explains that every devotee is a spiritual master.
在上一周我们讲到了不同的灵性导师以及不同类的灵性导师的资格。那释迦牟尼他鼓励说呢，其实每一个人都应当成为灵性导师。
Because we learn something from everyone.
因为我们从每一个人身上都可以学到一些东西。
Even from new devotees.
即便是从新奉献者身上也是。
So everybody benefits from hearing about Krishna or being directed towards Krishna.
所以呢，每一个人呢，他通过去聆听 Krishna， 以及呢，去被指导啊，慢慢的接近于 Krishna， 在这两方面都可以受益。
But everyone should make the step to be formally initiated by a spiritual master.
所以呢，每一个人呢，但是呢，都是每一个人都要踏出这样的一种非常正式的一步，就是被一位灵性导师所启迪。
And the spiritual master will also act as an instructing guru.
那这个灵性导师呢，他同时也担任了一个训示灵性导师的职责。
But it doesn't mean that everyone else now will stop instructing the disciple.
但是呢，并不意味着就是说其他的人，一旦那个奉献者有了启迪灵性导师之后，就不再去指导这个奉献者了。
Actually, the spiritual master would be very happy if the disciple is guided by other great Vaishnavas.
事实上呢，当门徒也得到其他的伟大的 Vaishnava 奉献者指导的时候，作为灵性导师，就是启迪灵性导师，他是非常欣喜的。
As long as there is no contradictions in the teachings and the guidance.
但是有一个前提就是说他们的教导以及他们的这个教会指导这两方面就是不要有冲突。
Now we have to understand also that shiksha, which is instruction, this is a principle which is valid for everyone because it's a communication from the heart.
其实呢，这个训示呢，它是对每一个人都是适用的，因为训示是一种心和心之间的对话。
So, the original Shiksha Guru is Krishna.
其实最原本的这个 Shiksha, 也就是说训示聆听导师就是 Krishna.
He sits within the heart of everyone and, he guides the living entities.
他居于每一个生物体的心中，那他也指导着每一个生物体的行动。
And therefore, Krishna within the heart as the Shiksha Guru guides the devotee to find the initiating guru.
所以说呢，在每一个奉献者、每一个人心中的这个 Shiksha, 也就是超灵，它其实在指导着每一个人去找到自己的 Diksha Guru, 也就是启迪灵性导师。
And then also the Shiksha Guru.
当然还有 Shiksha Guru, 训示灵性导师。
So the Diksha Guru is a formality.
所以呢 ,Diksha, 就是启迪灵性导师和门徒的这种关系呢。
But the most important is the instruction.
就是他要走一个启迪的仪式的。但是呢其实最重要的他们之间的这种关系还是一种 Shiksha, 训示的这种关系。
So,There is actually no formality to approach a Shiksha Guru.
所以说呢，就是你要接近一位 Shiksha Guru, 也就是训示灵性导师呢，不需要有什么特别的仪式或者是手续、程序什么的。
It's something that grows between two persons.
这是两个人他们自然而然的，就形成了这种关系。
However, we have to be very careful that we don't just pick and choose out of convenience.
但是我们不要出于这种方便的考虑，就是随便的去选择，挑挑拣拣，这个就很不好了。
In other words, Shiksha means instructions. Means when you receive an instruction, you follow it.
为什么呢？因为 Shiksha 也就是意味着训示，训示就是意味。背着你接受了一个人给你的训示之后，你就真的非常认真的去遵循。
Not that you accept the Shiksha Guru because you like what he says one day, and you don't accept him because he says something else the next day.
不是说今天你心中的这个 Shiksha Guru 训示灵性导师说了点让你高兴的东西，你就接受了。然后第二天他说的别的话，你不愿意听，你就排斥了。这样子是不行的。
So, when you accept the Shiksha Guru in your heart, and you may also make it not formal, but you may approach that particular Vaishnava to ask if that person will give you guidance.
所以的当你心中就是你接受了一位 Shiksha Guru, 一位训示灵性导师之后，也许从外在而言并没有什么正式的承诺或者是仪式，但是呢你会一直在心里把它当成 Shiksha Guru, 而且你会时不时的就去请他给你指导。
So, there are many devotees who have this Shiksha relationship with other gurus in ISKCON.
那有其他的一些奉献者们，他们也去请这个 ISKCON 里面其他的 guru 灵性导师来做自己的训示灵性导师。
But we have to understand that we have to accept those instructions within the heart and we should not deviate from them.
那我们的心中呢，应该要铭记着他们所给予我们这些训示，而且永不偏离。
Otherwise, it's sense gratification.
否则的话，其实就是感官享乐。OK.
All right. So, we are going back to the topic that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami to discuss.
那我们现在呢，来继续来讲 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatana Goswami 之间的对话。
Sanatana Goswami was to write a book on Vaishnav Smriti, which is Vaishnav behavior.
那 Sanatana Goswami 呢，他其实将要写一部书，这个书的内容是有关 Vaishnava Smriti， 意思呢就是说 Vaishnava 应当遵循的规范原则。
And later on, this book manifested under the name of Hari Bhakti Vilas.
后来这本书的书名就是 Hari Bhakti Vilas.
And in that book, Sanatana Goswami lists all the different principles that have to be observed by Vaishnavas.
那在这部书里面呢，Sanatana Goswami 就把 Vaishnava 奉献者应当要遵循的行为准则都把它一一的罗列了出来。
Prabhupada used to describe the process of Krishna consciousness as a reformatory process.
Prabhupada 经常说呢 ，Krishna 知觉的这种程序，其实对一个人来说就是一种教化改变的过程。
In other words, we are suffering from the disease of materialism, and there is a remedy for this.
换句话说，就是我们饱受物质之苦。然后呢，就是我们得了这样的一种物质的疾病，而 Krishna 知觉呢，就是一种帮助你洗心革面的这样的一个程序，帮助你恢复健康。
But we're not talking about a disease like you have a flu and then you're not feeling good for a week and then you take some tablets and you feel better.
当然，我们说的并不是说只是一种感冒，普通的感冒，你得了之后呢，大概一个星期你吃一点药。吃几粒药片，然后你就能够恢复了。
The jiva is being described as the journey of the jiva is being described in the material world as anadi, which means beginningless.
那么个体灵魂在这个物质世界的旅程被称为 anadi, 意思就是说呢，是没有开始的，就是无法追溯这个始源的。
There has been a point in time where the jiva fell into this material world.
那的确从时间的角度来说，那的确有这么一刻呢，这个个体灵魂它就堕落到了这个物质世界。
But it's been such a long time that it is described as beginningless.
但是呢，这个时间实在是太长了，无法追溯，所以就被称为是没有开始的。
And the jiva, the living entity, travels.All throughout the universe and experiences all the different species of life.
那这个 jiva 呢，就是这个个体的灵魂，它是在宇宙上下每一个角落不断的流浪漂泊，而且呢，它经历了无数的生命种族。
Then comes to the human form.
然后终于呢，来到了人的身体。
And then come in contact with the process of bhakti yoga.
然后接触到了 bhakti.
So, together with the process of bhakti yoga, there is also the process of purification.
那么伴随着这个 bhakti yoga 奉爱瑜伽的这个程序呢，它也有一个相应的一个进化程序。
Of course, bhakti is so powerful that it has the means to destroy unlimited amount of sinful activities.
那 bhakti 呢是一种非常有力量的方式。途径，它可以把一个人内心中的无穷无尽的这种罪恶的活动都清除干净。
And it is actually quite amazing to see that devotees who are coming from the most unusual background can become Vaishnavas in a very very short time.
很多的奉献者都是从一些最不可思议的这种。各种各样的背景来的，然后他们进入了 Krishna 知觉之后，在非常短的这个时间里就发生了巨大的进化和变化，成为了一位奉献者。那很多这样的情景都是让人非常吃惊的。
But let's not forget, the name of this material universe is Durga.
但是我们永远不要忘记了这个物质宇宙的名字叫 Durga.
Durga means fortress.
Durga 的意思就是堡垒城堡。
It means once you are inside that fortress, you can't get out.
就是说一旦你落入了这个城堡之后，你就很难从这里面逃出去了。
So when someone throws you a rope, then you have to follow a certain discipline to make sure you're going to get out safely.
所以如果有一个人呢，他就是扔给你一根绳子的话，那你要紧紧的抓住这个绳子，一步一步的爬出来，你要遵循这个过程当中的一些要求，这样子你才能够安然的爬出来。
And the training to qualify to enter the spiritual realm takes place here in this material world.
那就是说呢，你就是怎么样才能够受到这个训练，最后回归到灵性世界呢？你必须首先在这个物质世界接受培训。
There is no section in the spiritual world where you bring in people from the material world and then you put them under training to become pure devotees. You have to enter the spiritual world completely pure.
那在灵性世界没有这么一个地方，专门是接纳从物质世界来的人的，没有进化好的，在里面进化一下，然后再出来在这个灵性世界活动，没有这样一个地方，你必须是在这个物质世界已经完全获得了进化好了，你才能够回归灵性世界。
So it's the same thing in material life. If you want to enter a specific circle of people or a certain discipline, you have to get trained.
所以同样的，在这个物质世界也是这样的。你要进入某一个圈子，或者说进入到某一些就是when you say discipline,
if you want to enter a medical school, you have to go to university.
就是说
if you want to enter working in a hospital, you have to go to medical school.
就是相当于你要进入某一个圈子，某一些朋友圈，或者说某一些职业圈里呢，你就是说要首先要符合那个资格，你要自我培训。比如说你想要到医院里面工作，跟一些医生啊，这种医学界的人在一起，那你就要进入这个医学院去学习，经过这种科目的这种培训之后，毕业了拿到学位，你才能进去。
If you want to work at the court, you have to learn law.
那如果说你要是要在这个法院去工作的话，那你就必须要首先要学习法律。
So similarly, if you want to enter the spiritual world, you have to learn bhakti.
同样的，如果说你要进入到灵性世界的话，那你首先就要学的就是 bhakti 分爱，在这个物质世界就得学了。
And even though there are so many different rules and regulations to follow, the acharyas have put everything in a system which will be acceptable to everybody.
虽然呢，作为奉献者来说，要遵循的规范原则不计其数。但是呢，这些 acharya 们，历代的先师们已经把它进行梳理和精简，把它体系化了，系统化了，这样子呢，我们就可以有章可循，每一个人都可以遵循。
And the very, very first principle which is presented by Lord Chaitanya is that you have to seek out a spiritual master.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里谈到了这个程序的时候，他说呢，起步就是这个。你的开始就应当去接近一位灵性导师。
Just like if you go to school or university, or even if you learn how to drive, you have to accept the authority of the teacher.
就好像说呢，你去到一个学校，或者是上大学，或者说你想学怎么开车的话，你首先就得有一个老师，而且呢，你拜这个老师为权威。
So last week we listed the different qualification of the spiritual master.
上周呢，我们就罗列了，就是作为一个灵性导师，他所应当具备的这个资格。
And this week we're going to go over the qualification of the disciple.
那这一星期呢，我们就开始讲，就是一个真正的一个门徒，他应当具备什么样的资格。
Now again, this is presented by Srila Prabhupada, who understood exactly how the Vedic scriptures present the qualification of the disciple, and then he adapted this to the present day.
然后呢，我们还得强调一下，在这里所讲的有关门徒的这一切，都是由 Srila Prabhupada 呈现的。那 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他是深悉这个，就是完全深透的了解伟大经典关于这个主题的一个教导的，而他呢，就是把它吸收了之后，以按照适合这种现代人的理解的方式，把它就是呈现出来了。
And that's because in the Vedic system, you don't enter training when you are 30, 40 or 50 years old. You get your training at the age of 5.
在这个伟达的这个体系当中，一个人他的这种灵性上的这种培训，他不是像我们现代人这样都过了30岁了、40岁了，甚至50岁了再开始培训，他们是从小孩子5岁的时候就开始了。
You go and live with the guru, and by age 12, you're ready for initiation.
就是你五岁的时候就进了灵师学校，跟随着灵性导师生活学习。到了十二岁的时候，你已经完全具备资格接受启迪了。
So much so that if you have not received initiation or qualified for initiation at the age of 14 or 15, then there's no hope.
就是到了十四五岁了，如果你还没有接受启迪。或者你还不具备接受启迪的资格，那你就可以说是没有希望了，无药可救了。
So approaching a guru and receiving training from the guru, this is practically from the time of birth.
所以说呢，接受一个灵性导师，在他的指导下去接受培训，这个实际上，在那个年代的人来说，几乎就是刚一出生就开始了。
But this is not the situation today. We don't join Krishna consciousness at the age of five.
但是呢我们现代的人的这个情况就不是这样了。我们这个并不是说在幼年的时候五岁的时候就已经开始这种灵性的培训了。
We come to Krishna consciousness at an age where we have already accumulated plenty of material luggage.
但是呢我们加入 Krishna 知觉的时候之前已经背了很多的来自于物质世俗生活的各种的这个就是重负了，这些行李已经背得很沉很沉。
So to qualify as a disciple means discipline.
什么叫做就是英文里这个 disciple 门徒呢？是从这个 discipline 这个词来的。那么 disciple 就是门徒 ，discipline 呢意思就是纪律啊、约束、自律这样的含义。
And that discipline is necessary because the conditioned soul is going to be bombarded by the material energy.
那么对于一个奉献者来说呢，这种戒律就是制约这些自律是非常的重要的，因为在这个物质世界里，只要你生活在这里，你作为一个个体灵魂，你就会被物质的能量狂轰滥炸。
It's mentioned in the Shastra that the material energy has two functions.
那在这个 Shastra 经典里面说呢，物质的能量有两个功能。
One is to drag the conditioned souls within the modes of material nature.
一个呢就是把这个受条件限制的灵魂拽到这个物质自然三形态中。
And the other is to make sure that the conditioned soul stays there.
然后第二个功能呢，就是把这个灵魂死死的给它关在这个。物质能量当中不让它出去。
So we're not going to get, you know, free so easily. The material energy, when Maya notices that, hey, someone is trying to escape, I've got to keep them back and make sure that they are staying down under my control.
那所以说呢，你要去越狱，这个轻易的。逃出去这不是一件非常容易的事情，自由不是那么容易的，因为这个玛雅这个物质的虚幻能量，它会紧紧的把你关在它的这个掌控之中，看到你要逃出去了，它会想方设法的把你紧紧的拽住，不让你获得自由。
And、you can use the discipline also when you receive a prescription from the doctor that you have to take medicineEvery day, you have to be disciplined and take that medicine, otherwise you will never be cured.
就包括我们可以举一个例子，你生病的时候也是这样的，你要去看医生，医生他会给你一个方子，然后你要那个根据这个医嘱来吃药，比如说每一天要吃几次，每次要吃几粒，你必须得要遵医嘱，如果你不这么做的话，你的病就治不好。所以这个也是一种约束。
So there are requirements of things that we should follow and things that we should not follow.
所以说呢，对一个人来说，他是有要求的，那必须要做某一些事情，有一些事情又是绝对不能做的。
And these prescriptions which are given by the spiritual master gives the time for the disciples to be prepared for initiation.During a period of time of observation. And that observation is mutual. The guru observes the disciple and the disciple observes the guru.
所以呢这个灵性导师呢他就会给这个门徒一个方子就像医生给病人开药一样。那这个方子上呢他就给了一个门徒有一定的时间。在这段时间里面呢门徒和灵性导 师之间呢，他们会相互的去观察，相互的去考察，然后再正式的启迪。
Now, this subject matter is quite vast.
就是这个主题其实是一个挺大的一个话题。
Because our intention is to actually bring people into Krishna consciousness and bring them to the highest level as soon as possible.
因为我们的目的就是把人们吸引到 Krishna 知觉中来，然后呢是在这个尽快在一个有限的这个时间里面能够让它上升到一个高度，就是让它尽快的进步提升。
But we have to remember Lord Chaitanya's mood, Lord Chaitanya's desire, Lord Chaitanya's mission.
但是我们要了解主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的使命，然后他的愿望，还有他的心情。
That he wanted the holy name of Krishna to be chanted in every town and village all over the world, not just in India.
因为他是希望这个主的圣名能够传播到世界的每一个乡村城镇，每一个角落，而不是说只是局限在印度这片大陆上。
So he did mention to the Vaishnavas who visited him in Puri, when they asked him, how do you recognize a Vaishnava?
那么当这些那些奉献者孟加拉奉献者去了这个 Puri 的时候呢，在Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在一起的时候，他们的确是问过 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 这样的一个问题，你怎么才能够识别出一个人就是一位 Vaishnava 奉献者呢？
He said anyone who chants Hare Krishna is a Vaishnava.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他就回答说，任何一个去念诵 Hare Krishna 的人，唱诵的人都是奉献者。
And you should respect that person.
那你呢，应当去尊重这样的人。
A year later, the same devotees ask him the same question again.
然后一年之后呢，同样的这个奉献者又问了他同样的问题。
And Lord Chaitanya replied, anyone who has taken formal initiation from the spiritual master, you should offer your obeisances to that person, and you should serve that person.
然后呢，他说任何一个接受了一位灵性导师启迪的人都是 Vaishnava 奉献者，你应当向他做出顶拜，并且向他做出谦卑的服务。
A year later, they asked the same question again.
然后又过了一年，他们又问了同样的问题。
And Lord Chaitanya says, anyone who has attained the pure level of devotional service and who takes the position of the spiritual master, you should surrender to that person.
然后呢，就是说任何一个人已经达到了这个纯粹的奉爱服务的这个层面，and they have become a spiritual master. 如果他已经成为一个纯粹的灵性导师，那你就应当皈依在他的莲花主下，向他顶拜。
So there are three levels of people who all chant Hare Krishna.
所以说呢，这就是三个层面的人，他们都是念诵或者唱诵 Hare Krishna.
And what does that mean? It means that we should not think that the Krishna consciousness is an exclusive club.
所以我们不要认为 Krishna 知觉呢就是一个小团体的俱乐部。
That it's only for certain people.
就他不是说他是排他的，不是说只是为一些特权人士所准备的。
Everyone can become and should become a devotee.
每一个人呢都应当要成为一位奉献者。
However, we will find there are different levels of commitment.
但是呢，这样的一种承诺和投入的确是分成不同的层面的。
And logically speaking, the number of devotees who actually take formal initiation and commit themselves to follow the guideline of a spiritual master with the aim of going back to Krishna will be always smaller than a larger community of people who more or less are committed.
其实呢，相较而言呢，去接受了一个灵性导师的正式的启迪，然后做出正式的承诺，去遵循这个灵性导师所给予他的这种指导方针，然后一步一步的去进行修习，而就是达到这个灵性的这个更高的这个顶点， 回归神手。那这样的人呢，他还是比较少数的，而更大多数的人就是他不一定接受启迪，他在外围，那么他多多少少就是说都是去承诺的，去做一些灵性的这个活动。
In other words, if you look at the social structure in Satya Yuga, everyone is a Brahmana.
如果我们来看一下这个社会结构的话，在 Satya Yuga 就是黄金年代，每一个人可以说都是 Brahmana， 就是婆罗门。
In Treta Yuga, it is mostly Brahmanas, but there are some Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras.
那么在这个Treta 年代，就是白银年代的时候呢，也是大多数的人是属于 Brahmana， 就是婆罗门，但也有少数的这个沙利利啊、Vaishya 和 Shudra。
In Dwapara Yuga, there's half of the Brahmanas, the rest are Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras.
那么到了这个 Dwapara 年代，同济年代的时候呢，就是一半一半，婆罗门是一半，然后另外一半呢。就是沙地利、Vaishya 和 Shudra。
And in Kali Yuga, there's 95% of Shudras and maybe 5% of Brahmanas, if that.
那就在卡利年代呢，就是可以说是95%的都是 Shudra 了，然后5%，假设说还真的有这5%有婆罗门的话，那也就是这么一点点的人，他们是可以被称为是婆罗门的。
So.We see in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that he is giving the chance for those who want to commit and make rapid advancement to Krishna consciousness to become officially initiated disciples, but then bring others to the fold of Krishna consciousness based on their level of commitment.
所以呢，就是在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 那个年代可以看到，对于那些想接近他、正式的接受启迪、遵循他的指导的这些人呢，这个主持参加马哈帕布为他们创造了这样的一个条件，就是皈依启迪的这样的一个条件。但是对于更多的很多的人来说，主持参加马哈帕布呢，也是根据他们的这种承诺和投入的这个程度，也给了他们相应的指导。
So, for example, in one city, you may have 50 initiated devotees who follow strictly.The guidelines of Bhakti Yoga.
所以我们可以举个例子，比如说在一个城市里面有这么50个奉献者，都是正式的接受了启迪的，然后他们完全的按照这个Bhakti 的规则，就是奉爱瑜伽的这种指导原则在生活。
But then you may have in the same city 5,000 friends of Krishna.Who some follow one principle, two principles, some chant 4 rounds, some chant 1 round, some chant 10 rounds, some are now strict vegetarian offering their food, some are not yet vegetarians, but they chant and read.
但是同一个城市里面可能还有这么5000个人，他们是能够遵循这些规范原则的一部分的。比如说呢，有一些人念诵怎么10圈，有些人念诵个4圈，有的念诵2圈1圈的，有些人他已经是严格的素食，当然有些人可能还没有素食的，有些人供奉食物，有些人不供奉食物，有些人可能什么别的都不做，但是他就是还是在阅读经典啊，在听课呀，就是说他们在不同的程度上面他做到了其中的一部分。
So many of theseFriends of Krishna will gradually make the commitment to take initiation, but others may never do.
那么在这些人当中呢，他们可能其中有一些人慢慢的循序渐进，他到最后他也会正式的接受启迪，然后念诵16圈，就是全部都做到。但是有一些人他可能永远都做不到。
But they will do plenty of service.
但是他们会做很多的充足的这个服务。
And perhaps next life they will be more ready.
那么到了下一世的时候，他们可能会准备得更好。
So we begin with those who are committed.
所以呢，我们现在先开始来讲这个门徒的资格，先从这些已经完全承诺的奉献者开始。
So the disciple's qualification must be observed by the spiritual master before he's going to accept such a person as a disciple.
就是这是Srila Prabhupada讲到的，就是说当当一个人被灵性导师接受为门徒之前，应当就是在一段时间里面接受灵性导师对他的观察。
So this is how Prabhupada established the standard.
然后这个灵性导师他可以判断这个门徒是否已经获得了这方面的资格。那么这个是Srila Prabhupada所确立的一个标准。
He says in our Krishna consciousness movement, the requirement is that one must follow four regulative principles.
然后呢Srila Prabhupada接着说，他说在我们的 Krishna 知觉运动当中，一个人他应当要接受这个四个规范原则。
No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no sex life.
就是不吃鱼肉蛋，不服用麻醉品，不赌博，不非法性行为。
Now these are not spiritual principles.
这些原则还谈不上是灵性原则。
These are just to bring someone to the platform of goodness and to make one a proper human being.
这些原则只不过是把一个人能够上升到，就是进化到一个善良属性，然后呢能够让他成为一个真正的人，符合人做人的标准而已。
And of course chanting 16 rounds.
当然了，这里还要有这个念诵16圈。
So during the time of observation, devotees who aspire to be initiated may go from 4 rounds to 8 rounds to 10 rounds and then 16 rounds until they become steady in chanting 16 rounds.
那这个就是说可以说这是在正式启迪之前的一个考察期，或者叫观察期。那么一个门徒呢，他可能一开始念两圈，然后四圈，八圈，然后呢逐步到十六圈。那么这个念诵呢，他就从一个量比较小，不太有规律，到变成非常的稳定稳固的这个状态。
Now let's not forget that in the early days of Krishna consciousness, keeping with the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in India, the requirement was minimum 64 rounds a day.
我们要说这个 Krishna 就觉得这个传统，在这个印度的话，如果是按照 Vaishnava 这 Gaudiya Vaishnava 的这个传统的话，作为一个启迪的奉献者，至少要念诵的是64圈。
Means you need all day to chant.
换句话说，就是你差不多一天从早到晚都要念诵。
But Prabhupada reduced it to 16 because we have many things to do to spread Krishna consciousness.
那Srila Prabhupada呢，把它减少到了16圈，为什么呢？因为要节省出大量的这个时间，我们要做很多很多去传播 Krishna 知觉的服务。
So then the disciple is given a name, referring to Krishna.Or referring to devotees, or referring to qualities of Krishna, with the affix of das or dasi.
然后呢，一个奉献者呢，他就会获得一个灵性的名字。这个灵性的名字的后缀是 das 或是 dasi， 就是仆人的意思。而这个名字呢，都指向的是 Krishna 或者 Krishna 的品质，或者是 Krishna 的奉献者。
Now the disciple is officially initiated and begins the process of bhakti under the guidance of the spiritual master.
那现在呢，这个门徒他就正式的接受了启迪了，然后呢，他就遵循着灵性导师给他的这个训示和这个指导，在这个分爱的这个道路上呢，拾级而上。
And after some time, in the early days, Srila Prabhupada mentioned 6 months.But today it's questionable whether it's 6 months or 1 year or 5 years or 10 years, one can receive second initiation.
那么在不生知觉早期的时候，Srila Prabhupada呢，他说到的是六个月之后，就启迪完了之后，半年之后可以接受二次启迪。但是到了现在的话呢，这个时间已经发生了一些变化了。有些情况的变化，那这个要求呢，就是可能是一年，或者是五年、十年的更长的这个时间，就是一次启迪和二次启迪之间，它是要有一定的很长的时间。
Now, we have to understand that again, this is a formality.
另外呢，我们要知道这个也是一个仪式。
In other words, what is formal will only last. One day. The formalities is just a ceremony, a ritual.
这个其实好比是一种手续一样，这个手续的这个过程当中就是有仪式啊，有这个就是有这个仪式，还有一些典礼跟它伴随着的。那如果说你只是把它看成一个手续的话，那么它只有一天的这个时间就完成了。
But the real qualification is the transformation that takes place within the disciple's life.
啊，但是呢，其实呢，真正有意义的是在这个奉献者，也就是说这个已经承诺了的启迪奉献者的生活中也发生的这些变化。这个生命的这种转变，这才是真正的意义所在。
And it's interesting how Prabhupada had very amazing ways to describe consciousness.
那当时啊 ，Prabhupada 他去描述这个知觉或者意识的时候，他的描述的这个方法是非常的美妙的。
So one time, one devotee asked him, "Srila Prabhupada, can you please give us?" The true deep meaning of love.
有一次呢，有一个门徒来到释迦牟尼的跟前，询问他说：“释迦牟尼，你能够描述一下，真正的，就是 real truth，
I said love.
Yeah, 就是爱的真意，就是深刻的真意是什么
？So.The disciple was expecting a very esoteric, elaborate description of what it means to love the guru and to love Krishna and to love the living entities.
所以呢，这个门徒呢，他在询问的时候，他是想要知道有关爱的真正的、深刻的这个含义的。所以他想，释迦牟尼的回答一定是非常的深奥的。他觉得，应当有非常深奥的这种解释。来去描述一个生物体，一个人他怎么样去爱自己的门徒，爱其他的奉献者，怎么去爱其他的生物体。
So Prabhupada gave a very simple reply. He said, "You took initiation, stick to your vows."
那是的 ，Prabhupada 的这个解释确实那么的简洁。他说的，你就是启迪，然后呢，你就是承诺了，你发誓了，然后呢，你就。永远不改变。
You took initiation, stick to your vows. Just that.
就是你获得了这个启迪之后，然后你就遵行你的誓言去做就好了。
So this is a proof of love.
所以呢，这就是爱的证明。
I am committed.
就是说我已经承诺了。
And this is for the rest of our life.
然后呢，我这一生都要这么去做。
So, in one sense. The process is very easily accessible. On the other, it requires commitment.
所以呢，就是所以说，从一方面来说，这个程序好像又是非常容易去接近的。但是另外一方面呢，又需要有非常慎重的承诺。
So you can imagine devotees who've been in the Krishna consciousness movement for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. You can see the requirement to be committed.
所以呢，你也看到 Krishna 知觉里有一些奉献者已经是50年、40年、30年或者20年了。所以你可以看到他们的这种投入的这种程度，他们对于承诺的这种慎重。
But that's possible because one gets taste for Krishna consciousness and one gets good association.
那如果说一个人他有非常好的品味，并且他有很好的奉献者联谊的话，这是可以做到的。
So Prabhupada says qualification means to give up material bodily conception of life.
那么就是释迦牟尼讲到一个门徒的资格的时候，他说呢，首先这个人呢，他应当要抛开这个物质躯体化的概念。
To give up lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy.
然后呢，就是说这个人他应当要放弃这种色欲啊，愤怒。贪婪、幻念、疯狂，还有嫉妒。
And one should also be focused on exploring the science of Krishna consciousness.
然后一个人他应当全神贯注的去探寻有关 Krishna 知觉的科学。
One should not think anymore that I am this body or this and this belongs to me.
对， 要在想我是这个躯体，这个或者那个是属于我的，我是拥有者，就这种念头不应该再有。
One should cultivate affection and faith towards the spiritual master and remain steady.
然后一个奉献者，他应当培养对灵性导师的情感，这个爱，还有这种承诺。那么，而且要非常的就是专注的，对灵性导师应当要非常的忠诚。
The disciple also should be inquisitive, should approach the guru and ask questions.
一个灵性，一个门徒，他应当保持这种求知欲，经常接近灵性导师去询问一些问题，让灵性导师给他答疑解惑。
The disciple should also avoid finding fault where there are good qualities.
这个门徒他也不应当去吹毛求疵。
Yes. In other words, someone may have qualities, but you only look for the faults in that person.
就是举例来说，比如说一个人他其实有很多很好的品质，但是你的眼睛呢，你就不看着那些好品格，就老是去挑他的问题，挑他的毛病。
And the disciple should lose interest in being attached to material topics, talking about material things all the time.
这个门徒他应当就是对这种世俗物质的这种话题感到索然无味，就是已经没有兴趣去谈那些物质的话题了。
Now, there is also the mutual relationship between guru and disciple.
然后 guru 和门徒之间呢，还有这种相互的respect,
mutual relationship,
就是有相互的这种关系。
So again, the disciple should be inquisitive.Should approach the guru and ask about transcendental subject matters.
就是呢，这个门徒他应当是保持着一种旺盛的求知欲，他经常到灵性导师那里去询问，超然与超然话题有关的问题。
The disciple should make sure that such a spiritual master is the person who answers my question, and that person is qualified to guide me.
而且呢，一个门徒他应该要认定这样的一个灵性导师，他一定能够回答我的有关于这些灵性知识的这些问题，而且呢，他完全具备去指导我的资格。
On the other hand, the spiritual master will observe the disciple and see the attitude of the disciple if he's actually interested in transcendental subject matter.
然后这个灵性导师他也会去观察自己的这个门徒，来看呢这个门徒他是否非常有这个渴望去理解就是超然的一些灵性的主题。
Now something very important, I think it was covered last week, is the spiritual master should not be eager to accumulate disciples because of their material position.
我想上周在讲到灵性导师资格的时候，我可能也提到过这一点，就是一个灵性导师不能因为这个门徒在物质上面非常有地位然后就去接受他为自己的门徒，这样子就是收很多很多的门徒，这个是不好的。
And this is something very common.
而这种现象现在是很常见的。
Someone is very wealthy, very influential, and just to addto their trophies, they go and look for a guru.
现在这个世界上有一些所谓的有钱有势的一些人物，然后呢他们只不过是让自己锦上添花，所以说就去找一位灵性导师，想要接受灵性导师的启迪。
I saw one man in Vrindavan one time, he had a little shop downtown, and he came to the temple, Krishna Bharam temple, looking for a guru,because he knew that guru had many disciples, and if he takes initiation, they would all go and buy from his shop.
然后我就记得以前在这个 Vrindavan 的这个镇中心有这么一家店铺，然后店铺的这个主人呢，他就是到 Krishna Balaram 的这个庙里面，想要找一个灵性导师来启迪自己。他心里是这么想的：这个灵性导师非常有名，有很多的门徒。我做他的门徒之后，这些这么多的门徒都会到我的店里面来买东西了。
Or the guru would be attracted to a wealthy person because the guru thinks, well, if I initiate this person, then I can have access to a lot of money.
或者说呢，这个 灵性导师有这么一个念头啊，这个人他非常的有钱，算是个富人，那么我让他做我的门徒之后呢，他就可以很多的这个财富都可以给我，我可以拿这个钱做很多事情，这种想法这种念头也是非常不当。
So this is very very bad.
这个是非常非常糟糕的。
We don't have such a relationshipBecause of material asset, we have relationship because of spiritual assets.
我们门徒和灵性导师之间的这种关系，并不是基于这种世俗物质的财产，而是灵性的财产，灵性的资产。
And we see the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were living under the trees, but then they encourage very wealthy people to build temples.
就比如说我们看到在这个历史上六 Goswami 们，他们在这个 Vrindavan。他们都是住在这个树下的，都没有真正意义的一个住处，但是呢，他们会去鼓励很多有钱人，让他们去造庙宇。
And these people who build the temples in Vrindavan, they didn't take initiation. They were just business people or influential people who had the means to do service for Krishna.
那建造了 Vrindavan 这些庙宇的人，他们并没有说都接受这个灵性导师的启迪，他们就是一些比较有钱的，然后有地位、有资源的这些人。那么他们呢，就有办法去动用这个人力物力去建这些庙宇。
Okay. Another aspect of the disciple is that he should always be situated in goodness, and then working towards pure goodness.
然后还有一个门徒的一个资格，就是说他要保持在这个善良属性、善良形态的这种状态里面。然后呢，在善良形态的这个基础上面，他逐步的努力向纯粹善良形态接近。
And then finally, the disciple will be introduced to chant specific mantras.
然后呢，最后呢，就是说这个门徒呢，他会接受指导去念一定的曼陀罗，特定的一些曼陀罗。
So of course, everyone is introduced to chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
当然了，每一个人呢，他们都有机会得到这个 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 念诵的指导。
But we chant also many other mantras.
但是呢，我们也同样的去念很多其他的 mantra。
We chant mantras when we read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita.
我们在念这个圣典佛家瓦坛，还有佛家梵歌的时候，我们也要念这些 mantra.
We chant mantras to the spiritual master.
我们也要念敬献给灵性导师的 mantra.
We chant mantras to the deities.
还要念献给神像的 mantra.
We chant mantras to offer obeisances to the devotees.
然后呢，我们去顶拜奉献者的时候，也有这个。奉献者顶拜祷文，就是奉献者的顶拜的这个 mantra。
When we become second initiated, we chant Gayatri mantra。
然后呢，二次启迪之后呢，也要念这个 Gayatri mantra。
So all these mantras are introduced by the spiritual master。
所以呢，就是这个是灵性导师引荐给我们这些曼陀罗的。
And it's important for the disciple to learn them。
那对于一个门徒来说呢，要去学习这些曼陀罗是极其重要的。
So。There are many other aspects of the relationship between guru and disciple.
那么 guru 和门徒，就灵性导师和门徒之间的关系，还有各个侧面、各个方面。
This actually forms the foundation for entering spiritual life and actually attaining perfection.
那这个其实我们刚才所讲的门徒的这些资格，灵性导师这些门徒的这些资格，是一个人走进灵性的生活，并且逐步的达到完美的一个基石。
So after discussing this topic of guru and disciple, Lord Chaitanya goes through all the different details of what a devotee should do from the moment that he wakes up in the morning.
然后呢，在讲完了这个灵性导师和门徒的这个种种资格以及他们之间的关系之后呢，释迦牟尼摩诃萨婆呢，他就接下来要讲的就是，做一个门徒从早上睁眼起来的那一刻开始，都应当做些什么。
And Prabhupada used to describe sleeping to be as good as being dead.
释迦牟尼摩诃萨婆说呢，这个睡眠就好比是死亡。
So sleeping is dying.
他说睡眠就是死亡。
So when you wake up in the morning, it's like you have a new life.
所以说当你就是早上起来的时候，醒来的时候，就好比是如获新生。
But you have to brush up that the last 6 or 7 or 8 hours of ignorant sleeping.
但是你之前的有这么6个小时到8个小时的这个睡眠时间，也就是说你是陷在这种无知的黑暗之中的，所以你早上起来，你马上就要把你的这种黑暗的覆盖给它抹去。
That's why part of the training is as soon as devotees wake up in the morning, they offer their obeisances to the spiritual master and they remember Krishna.
所以说呢，是要推荐一个奉献者，他早上一醒来之后起来，马上就要去顶拜。这个顶拜呢，就是为了让他马上就想到灵性导师，想到 Krishna。
So that's the first cleansing, which begins with cleansing the mind.
所以说呢，这就是你早上睁开眼睛醒来后的第一个净化，就是首先要净化自己的心意。
You don't turn your phone on and look what's on Taobao or Baidu.
你不会说早上眼睛一睁开。就上这个百度或者是淘宝看看上面有什么新东西。
You offer your respect to the guru and you remember Krishna.
就是你向你的灵性导师顶拜，然后呢就想起这个 Krishna.
Some devotees play bhajan, some devotees listen to a lecture.
有的奉献者呢会听 bhajan, 或者有的奉献者就开始聆听一个讲课，就一早起来就这样了。
I remember Tamal Krishna Goswami, as soon as How did I know that he is up from his bed? Is because I could hear a Prabhupada lecture.
那我那个时候去服务檀摩慧师那个 Swami 的时候，我怎么知道他早上就已经起了呢？就是说我一听到 Prabhupada 讲课的声音，我就知道他起床了。
And he had a tape recorder, and every morning on his way to the bathroom, in the bathroom, back to the bedroom, he would listen to a Prabhupada lecture.
然后呢，他有一个小录音机，然后每天。早上呢，他进卫生间，然后洗漱，然后沐浴，然后就出来到这个卧室。整个的这个过程当中，他都会用那个录音机放的是了Prabhupada的讲课。
So we do this even when we brush our teeth. The first thing after cleaning the mind, you have to clean the body.
所以呢，就是一开始的顶拜就是你的对于心意的净化。那接下来你就要对身体有一个净化。
So devotees they get up.They jump into the shower.
所以奉献者一起床之后呢，就立刻就沐浴，跳就很快的就沐浴。
I mean, you have no idea what we went through in the early days of Krishna consciousness.
在我们这个 Krishna 知觉早期的时候，我们的经历啊，都让你们无法难以置信。
It wasn't just shower; it was icy cold.
这不光是沐浴这么简单了，那个是冰冷刺骨的水。
And sometimes it was not a shower, it was a hose.
有的时候根本就谈不上是沐浴了，只不过就是一个水管子而已，一个管子。
Just a hose and then splashing each other with icy cold water.
然后那个水管里面都是冰冷的水，然后我们互相的冲。
Believe me, you don't fall asleep after that.
你在这么冷水澡之后，你是不可能再打瞌睡的了。
Anyway, today people have the luxury to have a bathroom.
那现在的人呢，生活条件就好多了，就是很奢侈了啊，有一个那个卫生间，热水器什么的。
So we'll go through all these different details next time.
那我们下一次呢？下一课开始，我们来讲这些所有的这些细节。
There are 48 different regulations.
有这个八个各种各样的这种规则。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 好，我们现在来看一下已经有奉献者提了问题。So Ratnamala Devi Dasi, 顶拜 Guru Dev, 顶拜翻译每一个年代的婆罗门刹利利和书者是这个年代的自然形成的还是必然的。So my question is about the social structure in regards to Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Sudras. In different ages, are they like naturally formed or is something like persistent or something that has to be like that, or it's just organic and natural.
They are born into that social status.
其实他们出生的时候已经在这个社会的地位上了。
They are born Brahmanas, they stay Brahmanas, they are born Kshatriyas, they stay Kshatriyas, they are born Vaishyas, they stay Vaishyas, they are born Shudras, they stay Shudras.
就是他们在那个就是每一个年代他出生的是婆罗门，然后他就是这辈子他保持这个婆罗门的这个标准，就是以婆罗门的身份去生活。同样的，刹帝利、Vaishya和 Shudra 也是一样的。
In some rare occasions,you'll have Brahmanas becoming Kshatriyas or Kshatriyas becoming Brahmanas.
但是有一些非常罕见的一些例外，就是说这个婆罗门他可能会成为刹帝利，或者说刹帝利变成了婆罗门。
Or a Brahmana will marry a Kshatriya woman, or a Kshatriya man will marry a Brahmana woman.
还有就是婆罗门和刹帝利之间他们可能也会有这种通婚，但是这是非常的罕见的。比如说婆罗门的一个男人娶了一个刹帝利的女子，或者是反过来，刹帝利男子娶了这个婆罗门的家的女儿。
But we also have to remember that in this social structure, people did not aspire to change.Their position because they had access to pure devotional service, even as Shudras.
然后呢，就是我们要知道的是，在这样的一些传统的年代里面，人们他们并不奢望去改变自己的社会地位。就是他在某一个社会阶层里面，不管是哪个，他已经非常的满足了。为什么呢？因为他哪怕是就是 Shudra， 就是最低的这个阶层的人，他也是可以。成为纯粹的奉献者的，所以他会非常的满足。
And then you have some who are born in families of demons who become pure devotees.
还有一些是出生在这种恶魔家庭的人，他们也可以成为纯粹的奉献者。
Or you have, for example, during the time of Krishna, you had Shudras like Vidura, who was a pure devotee of Krishna.
在 Krishna 的这个年代里，像 Vidura， 他的母亲是个 Shudra， 他也就相当于是个 Shudra， 但是他也是 Krishna 的纯粹的奉献者。
And the Pandavas were Kshatriyas, and they were all pure devotees.
那这些 Pandava 兄弟，他们都是刹帝利，他们也是 Krishna 纯粹的奉献者。
And you had someone like Madhu Mangal, who came from a Brahmin family.Who lived in Vrindavan with all the Vaishyas who were farmers.
然后呢，就是这些 Madhu Mangal， 他出生于是一个婆罗门，但是呢，他却就是在这个 Vrindavan 生活，和所有的这些Vaishya 这些牧牛人生活在一起的。
So we have to look at how these different positions give you facility to serve Krishna.
所以呢，我们要看的就是，不管是身居何位，你怎么样去利用这个位置来为 Krishna 做奉献服务，这个是最关键的。
And that's why in Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra, but everybody has an opportunity to become a pure devotee.
这就是为什么，虽然我们身在这个财力年代，每一个人都是 Shudra， 但是呢，每个人都有机会成为纯粹的奉献者，接受纯粹的奉献服务。
Many of our acharyas were born in Brahmin family, but many were also born in Vaishya families.
那在我们的这个历代的先师，就是这些 acharya 们，很多很多都是出生在这个婆罗门家庭的，身为婆罗门，但是依然还是有很多是 Vaishya 家庭的。
And Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family.
而 Haridas Thakur 他是出生在一个穆斯林的家庭
，which is outside the Varnashram system.
这个根本就都不在这个 Varnashram 的四社会阶层四灵性境界之列了。
And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were born in Brahmin family.But they had to give up that status because they work for a Muslim ruler.
那 Rupa 和 Sanatan 他们两个是出生在婆罗门家庭的，是身为婆罗门，但是他们后来呢却放弃了婆罗门的这个头衔，而去为这个穆斯林的国王效力。
So that's the difference between the situation in Kali Yuga and the previous ages.
所以呢，这个我刚才讲的就是卡利年代的情况以及。我们之前的那些不同年代的状况也是有所不同的。 Harikanta Devi Dasi, Dingbai Guru, Dingbai 翻译，近期年代的人大部分都是婆罗门，几乎没有物质欲望，而且寿命长，内心纯净，所有时间都用来从事灵性的觉悟。为什么我没有在近期年代获得觉悟，并回归灵性世界，反而越来越堕落，直至堕落到当今的年代呢？ You mentioned that in the Satya Yuga, everyone is a Brahmana. They almost free from all the material desires. They have longevity, pure hearts. They engage all their time in spiritual realization. Why we didn't go back to the spiritual world and completed our self-realization? Instead, we become more and more fallen to the extent that we are still here in this Kali Yuga, in this modern age.
Kali Yuga, the people of Kali Yuga are the remnants of the previous ages who didn't make it back to Krishna.
卡利年代呢，就是前面几个年代没有能够回归灵性世界的人的这些剩余物。
Now, if we think that there are many people in this planet, you have no idea how many people were in previous ages.
那你要想想，你想现在这个卡利年代，我们现在这个年代都人口众多，那么多的人。那你就根本就无法想象在之前的这些年代啊，金银铜那些年代的这些有得有多少人了，那就是无数了。我们现在的人都是剩下来的。
Prabhupada explains there are far more people going back to Krishna than people staying here. Far more.
是啊，巴布巴说呢，比起我留在这里的，还在这个物质宇宙的人来说，回归灵性世界的人要多得多了。
So.And Prabhupada explained, even if you manage to empty one universe, practically instantly there's another universe that fills up with conditioned souls.
那时候他们在说，即便是你让一个物质宇宙的人都清空了，就是他们都获得觉悟，回归灵性世界了，很快另外一个宇马上就都充满了，另外一个物质宇宙马上就充满了堕落的灵魂。
It's interesting that when you are 10 years old, you think that.You're going to live for 1,000 years.
这很有意思的。小孩子十岁的时候都觉得自己能活上一千年。
And when you are 20 years old, you think you're going to live for 500 years.
然后到了二十岁的时候，你那个时候还雄心勃勃的感觉自己好像要活上500年。
And when you are 40 years old, you think, well, I'm not sure if I'll make it to 80 years.
然后到了四十岁的时候，你在想，不知道我能不能活过80岁。
And when you are 50 or 60 years old, you think I've got 1 week left.
然后到了50岁、60岁的时候，你觉得你就剩下一个星期了。
So there's not much time left.
所以真的对我们来说，真的剩下的时间不多了。
Of course, we can't be artificially Krishna conscious, but we have to make a very concerted effort every day to become purified.
当然了，我们不能说刻意的去修习 Krishna 知觉啊，这种矫揉造作的那个去刻意的去修习，但是我们的确是要每天要去努力的去净化自己的。
One time devotees approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we want to serve you life after life in this material world. Prabhupada said, no, get out now.
然后有一次呢，有奉献者来到释迦牟尼跟前说，释迦牟尼，我们希望生生世世的来服务你。然后呢，释迦牟尼说，不，这辈子就赶紧走吧。
It's Kali Yuga. It's not going to get better.
就是因为这个卡利年代，它的情况会就是越来越糟糕，每况愈下，所以说还是赶紧的去回归身手吧。
But at the same time, this is Lord Chaitanya's golden age. It's meant to last for 10,000 years.
但是呢，与此同时，这又是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的黄金年代，就是我们有一个10,000年的黄金期。
So plenty of space to come back and serve the Sankirtan movement.
所以你还是有很多机会能够回来，再进一步的去服务这个Sankirtan运动的。
Because when you do that, you're already back in the spiritual world.
因为当你去服务这个Sankirtan齐颂圣名的运动的时候，虽然你身在这个物质世界，实际上呢，你已经是回归了灵性世界了。
When you are servingKrishna, you are in the spiritual world.
因为呢，当你就是在服务 Krishna 的时候，你其实就是在灵性世界，没有区别。 OK， 下一个问题来自于书记如发的维达斯，顶拜咕噜和老师们，感恩你们带来的精彩讲课。今天是在帮忙一个正在关注奉爱的佛弟子提问。第一个问题，请问在 Krishna 知觉里的门徒关系有没有通过靠梦境或者意念建立的？因为可能会有一些特别的情况，门徒一辈子也见不到震撼灵魂的咕噜。Okay, these are two questions. I will separate them, beginning with the first. The following two questions are asked on behalf of a Buddhist who is paying attention to Krishna consciousness or bhakti. So I wonder if there the relationship between the disciple and the guru, is it possible to be formed through a dream in Krishna consciousness? Because in some special cases, some disciples, maybe all their lifetimes, they won't be able to see any guru who can strike his soul, touch his soul.
So, and the question is?
The question is it possible that relationship can be formed in a dream, maybe not physically?
Well, you can form a connection in a dream, but it has to materialize physically. It cannot remain just in a dream.
He said not only dream, but also in the mind.
No,
no. 这个就是你仅仅凭着梦境或者是意念是不能够建立的。即便是你在梦境和意念当中有了这样子的一种感觉，也是从外在而言，也要真的见到这个灵性导师，然后建立起这样的一种关系，这样子才能是实质的门徒和灵性导师的关系。Yes, that's it.好，下一个问题，佛陀在世的时候曾经预言了在后面的时代会有非常有能力的恶魔披上袈裟混进佛法去欺骗众生，而这个事情正在发生。请问Krishna 知觉里有没有这样的预言呢？因为这个世界在修行方面的骗子和傻子都很多，应该如何去辨别一个人是不是真正的孤独呢？ This question is from the same BuddhistHe said when Lord Buddha was on this earth, he predicted that in the following ages, there will be a lot of powerful demons who put on the Buddhist, like the master's garments, and then they pretended to be a master to cheat the living entities with the Buddhist teachings. And this thing is actually happening right now.So, what about Krishna consciousness? Is there also some similar predictions? Because in this world, we can see there are a lot of cheaters and a lot of ignorant who are being cheated in a spiritual life. So, how to recognize or discriminate one who is a real guru?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
这个问题问得非常好。
Just going back to the first one,You can't have a relationship with the guru in the mind because you cannot trust the mind.
我再回到你前面问的那个问题，就是说能不能在意念当中去建立跟灵性导师的关系呢？这个是不能这样子建立的，因为我们的心意不可靠，你不能完全的信赖你的心意。
And yes, I heard about this thing about demons taking the form of clothing.
They just put on the...clothing and pretend to be a
no, no, it's not just that. There is something mystical where the demon is hidden in the cloth.
就是说我的确也是听过不光是说好像是有能力的恶魔披上这个袈裟，而是说这恶魔就是藏在这个袈裟里面，就藏在那个衣服里面。
But they are also, and it's not just in Buddhism, it's in every possible spiritual denomination where people take the clothand abuse it.
其实不光是在佛教的这个语境里面，在其他的一些灵修的这个法门，一些宗教里面也有这样子的一些人，就是说他们就是披上了一件外衣，然后混迹在这些灵修者之中去欺骗人们。
I mean, I could give you so many examples of people who come into position in the name of God.And literally destroy people's lives.
你说很多人他冒着他这个以上帝的这个名义混在其中，都是一些骗子，然后他把成千上万的人的生命都给 毁灭了，嗯，伤害了无数的众生。就这样的例子，我要是讲起来的话，那真是不胜枚举，我根本就讲不完。
And after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, instantly after, there were already groups who were claiming to be followers of Lord Chaitanya, who were the most degraded people you could ever meet.
其实，在主切丹尼亚马哈帕布离开这个世界的时候，已经有一群人。他们就是自称自己是主切丹尼亚马哈帕布的忠实的追随者，但是实际上他们又是最堕落的。
And this is why the Goswamis of Vrindavan set up the standard through their books about how you become a qualified disciple, how you become a qualified guru, what is the process of devotional service, and how you attain perfection.
所以这就是为什么六 Goswami 们他们立刻呢就通过这个文字去教导众生了，所以是说你怎么样才能够成为一个有资格的门徒，怎么样成为一个有资格的灵性导师，你怎么样去遵循这个奉献者的这个灵修的这个途径，又是应当去做些什么，然后你又怎么样达到这个完美，所以就非常清晰的把它写下来了。
And then you have the disciplic succession to safeguard the teachings.
然后呢还有这个使徒传系来捍卫保护我们的这个教导灵性的教导。
But there are people who take the position of guru to abuse not only their followers but the public.
的确是有这样子的一些假孤儒伪孤儒啊，这种假的灵性导师，然后他们就利用自己所谓的孤儒的这个地位呢，就是虐待自己的门徒，伤害门徒，然后愚弄大众啊，这样的人也很多的。
Now I'm referring to self-made gurus.
我说的是这种自诩的那种。
Who are not devotees of Krishna.
就是自称自己是孤儒，但是他实际上并不是 Krishna 的追随者。
There's many of them.
这样的人很多的，装模作样的人很多。
And they attract a lot of people.
然后呢，他们就是也吸引了很多人。
And they are absolutely not qualified.
他们是一丝一毫的资格都没有。
They are not qualified to be spiritual leaders.
根本就没有资格成为一个灵性的领袖。
And then amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's different because there is no history in the Gaudiya Vaishnav line where someone purposely climbs the position to become a guru to hurt people. We never heard of this.
但是在我们这个 Gaudiya Vaishnava 的这个传承里面，没有听说过有谁就是利用 guru 灵性导师的这个地位爬到一个高处，然后去有意的去伤害其他的人。就是没有，还没有有这样的先例。
However, there are Vaishnavas who take the position of guru and out of negligence or weakness.Fall and at the same time mislead.
但是的确是有这种一些 Vaishnava 这个就是在我们这传承中有这样的 guru 就是说他们已经是 guru 了，但是他们自己呢这种灵性的力量不够，变得虚弱变得这个堕落了，然后呢在这个过程当中他们就是不由自主的就伤害了门徒，误导了门徒，但是不是说他有意为之，故意要去骗人的。
And that's the reason why every devotee should, first of all, as soon as one comes to Krishna consciousness, their very first duty is to take shelter of Śrīla Prabhupāda.
所以说呢，对每一个人来说，当务之急的就是，当你一旦进入了 Krishna 知觉的这条领袖道路之后，你首先就要脱避 Śrīla Prabhupāda。OK。下一个问题，263644217YY 顶拜咕噜翻译主持，如果咕噜每天吃艾卡达西餐，做咕噜铺架时供奉五谷可以吗？ So if my guru takes the Ekadasi meal every day when I do guru puja, I offer the grain. Prasadam, is that okay or not?
What do you offer grains during guru puja?
That's also.
What guru puja?
你在做guru，你虽然说是guru puja，guru puja是做的那个供奉，这个时候不会同时去供奉食物的。我想你的意思就是说供奉给guru食物的时候吧。So if I offer the food to the guru's pictures on the altar, I think he is not speaking properly. Can I offer the grain?
You offer what you need to eat.
就是你需要吃什么，你就是吃什么，你就要供奉什么。
The guru's diet is something else.
而至于 guru 的他自己的这个饮食，那是另外一回事。
And the guru does not eat your offering. The guru passes your offering on to the parampara to the offer to Krishna.
啊，咕噜不是说就把你的这个供奉的食物给吃了，而是他就是传递给他上面的这个 guru parampara， 就是使徒传记中的这些历代的 acharya 们，然后再往上一直供奉到 Krishna， 所以 Krishna 品尝了你的所做的。这个食物。
And Krishna eats devotion. That's the main meal.
而最重要的这个主食对 Krishna 来说，他吃的是你的啊，就是奉爱之情。
So if you have to cook a big feast and your guru is fasting, you still have to offer to your guru.
啊，就比如说呢，这是一个大餐，你做了一个大餐，比如说节日，那么你 guru 可能这一天正好是戒食，那你不能说我就不做饭了。你还是要做一个大餐供奉给 Krishna。OK， 下一个问题，点金石顶拜咕噜翻译主持。比如说，我们这一时真的回到格罗卡文达伦了，永远永远就不会再堕落到物质世界了吗 ？Supposedly that we can go back to Goloka Vrindavan in this lifetime, does that mean we will never come back or fall into this material world again?
That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita.
这是 Krishna 在博迦梵歌里就是这么说的，回归了聆听世界就再也不用回到这个物质世界了。
You'll never come back.
你永远都不会再回来了。
No Huawei.
你就不用，就不用再拿这个
No DD
了，也不是也没有 DD 了。
You may get 饺子 but I'm not sure about that.
你可能还能吃到饺子。在灵性世界，但我这个我也不能确认你是否能吃到饺子。那至于在灵性世界里，你能不能这个吃到这个火锅，我估计你是吃不上了。你灵性世界没有火锅。李莹，顶拜咕噜翻译及各位奉献者，请问咕噜，如果一个人没有脱贫，没有起底，但他平时有遵守四项规范原则，在出意外去世后，如果他能记着。或者不记得 Krishna， 那他的结果会怎样呢 ？If someone hasn't taken shelter of any guru, hasn't got initiation, but she follows the four regular principles in her daily life, but then there's an accident and she passes away, and maybe at that moment she remembers or not remembers Krishna, what will happen to her after death?Hare Krishna.
Then in next life she'll have a better chance to start, continue the process.
就是她在下一世的时候，她会有一个更好的机会，能够继续她的灵性之旅。
I mean, wait a minute. There are many people in this world who have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, who follow four regulative principles.
但是你看。这个在这个世界上面有很多人，他们从来没有听说过 Krishna 没有念诵的，但是他们也是遵守四个规范原则的。
So it doesn't mean that they remember Krishna.
但是这并不意味着他们就在临终的那一刻记着 Krishna。
But if somebody is connected to Krishna consciousness, follow the four regulative principles, and does some chanting or whatever, and they leave their bodies, then next life they start where they left off and they continue.
但是如果一个人他已经跟 Krishna 知觉有所联系连接，然后他遵循四个规范原则，他可能也有点念诵，念个两圈四圈什么的。那么他如果在这种情况下意外去世之后呢，那么他在下一世的时候，他会有机会再继续他前一世没有做完的，也就是说继续去修习 Krishna 知觉。
Next life they'll get a better body.
在下一世的时候，他们将会获得一个更好的躯体，继续的修习 Krishna 知觉。OK。
OK。
好了，今天的问题应该就是这些了吧？没有了吧 ？Sumukhi Radha Mataji。OK， I think that's all. She's not responding.
Yeah, dropped it.
Okay. 好。
Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常感谢你 ，Sumukhi Radha Mataji。
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for listening patiently and for your very good questions.
感谢所有的奉献者耐心的聆听以及你们提出的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.Ki Jai, Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Kashadesh Yatra Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
来听到知音服务源于聆听。亲爱的奉献者，我们今天的永恒的且参两经是且参两成为参与法的讲课就到这里结束了。我们现在讲到的是 Madhya Lila 的第24章，有关 Atmaram 师节的61项解释。Hare Krishna。充满了 Krishna 知觉的一天。